Hey everybody, we're back from Thanksgiving. I hope you had a restful break. I'm sure today you're like me, you're kind of slugging along to get through everything. I'm excited to get ready to go on a shopping trip with a client, but I wanted to make sure before I went out the door that I got this interview out. I have been, I would say for 2 years now, going back and forth with interior designer Beth Diana Smith about this interview. We've always had scheduling conflicts and just things haven't aligned, and I'm so happy they finally did for this interview. I think, as I've always tell people, you know, I love hearing people's journey of how they got into interior design, and I think Beth's may be one that you weren't expecting, someone who started out in finance and then leapfrogged into interior design. But it makes a ton of sense when you listen to our conversation. And I think, again, coming back from a holiday, if you just want to have something that's just going to be like, this just feels good to listen to, reminds you of your gratitude. And even if you feel like right now you're like, gosh, I'm coming towards the end of the year and I'm not really sure if I'm on the right path for 2024, maybe Beth's conversation can help point you in the right direction. It's never too late to change directions, especially if it's not fulfilling you any longer. So on that note, we will get ready to start the show. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I've already started digging in, so I'm like, I got to stop myself and introduce who I'm talking to. I'm so excited to have interior designer Beth Diana Smith on the show. You guys have no idea how many times I've emailed Beth and like fallen off a cliff and like gotten her back on. So I'm so happy that we're finally able to make this interview happen. It's happening.
Finally, I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. So I do this with everybody because we always have people who are first-time listeners, may not know enough about your business and want to get to know more. What can clients expect from your interior design firm?
I think they can expect open and honest communication. I think they can expect a little bit of fun, a lot of laughter, and always, always, always great design. I think design, it should always be a feeling. So I'm always like, if you don't love it, then this isn't it. We gotta find the next thing. I always want the client to feel happy. Home is supposed to be your oasis away from the rest of the world. So design is important.
I love that. So let's talk about this because you said for a long time in your career path, you first were in finance. So it seems like a big leap to go from something that any of us who own a business, you know, we hate talking to our accountants. How did you pivot into interior design?
Oh my God. It was by accident. I feel like the universe was forcing it on me. So I wasn't one of those kids that like, you know, colored in their coloring book. I was the kid that organized their toy box.
Oh, okay.
And clean their room. Like I was that kid, and I had a system. Like I always cleaned my room clockwise. I would organize my toy box. I was that kid.
What order are you in for siblings? Where are you in the order? Are you an only child?
I have two older brothers, so I was a surprise. So my brothers are about 10 and 12 years older than me.
Okay. Okay.
And then I'm the youngest and the only girl. So I might as well have been the only child. They weren't trying to hang out with me, right?
Yeah, like I'm organized.
Right. Like, let me just keep my stuff clean. So I just grew up with like a very process-oriented brain. And I continued to do that. So when I got into high school and I'm trying to figure out what I was going to do, I was just like, you know what? I love numbers. I'm so good at them. One of my brothers was already working for the IRS. Okay. So I just naturally gravitated towards finance and accounting, right? And then I was happy. My goal was like, I was going to be CFO one day. And then I got, you tell God your plan and he is going to laugh in your face. So then I got closer to 30. I had started this new role and I was like, oh, you know, I'm making all this I had gotten this like this huge pay bump. I was like, oh, I'm gonna redo my house because I bought my house young. I closed on my house like 2 weeks after my 23rd birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
The hustle.
Yes,
That was a
exactly.
young
That's good
hustle.
for all of us,
So
really.
I had me like all the furniture I bought then was like, imagine like original IKEA, right? Like original
The
IKEA. I was
old
like, oh, I'm gonna
school.
redo the old school IKEA. So personality type, I'm sorry, I'm doing my research, like blogs is now becoming a thing because this is like 2008, right? 2008, 2009. Reading blogs, reading publications, reading all these articles, doing all this research. And I was like, oh, this is fun. So I started working on my house and I thought that maybe I would do it as a fun side hustle. So I initially started as a professional organizer, right? Because now we're talking about the OCD that
Okay.
still is here in full today. And one day I was at a friend's house, and we were redoing, trying to figure out like what we're gonna do to organize his closet. And this man had this, he had eight, I think like standard 8 foot ceilings, and he had this poster of Halle Berry that was mounted on foam core that had to be, I don't know, 9 or 10 feet tall. And it was just in the corner of his bedroom,
You're
like a
like, where
big
did you
floor
get this?
mirror. Right. And I was like, who are you dating? Like, who is coming here? It's so weird. So we got to this whole conversation
Like, I want to
about,
help you get someone in this bedroom by getting this
right.
poster out.
Right, because now I'm wondering, I'm like, who are you dating that thinks this is okay? Like, I have so many questions. And that one conversation, like, we got into like the whole psychology of design and why we're trying to convince him to get rid of Halle Berry. Like, Halle Berry, one of the most beautiful black women ever.
Right.
But why you gotta be in this man's
Why is
bedroom
this
10 feet
happening?
tall? Why is this happening? So that one little conversation, I kept on thinking about it, and I had another friend who was in corporate. She was working for Prudential Insurance, right? And she had just had her first child like a year before, and she got very heavily into like kids' parties. Like, no, I'm gonna do my son's parties, it's gonna be the best thing
Don't blow them
ever.
out.
Ram them out. And she was just like, oh, I think I'm gonna launch a party planning business, and I think I'm gonna do it eventually like full time and leave corporate. And I had the convert when I was having the conversation where I was like, girl, what are you doing? Why would you leave all this good corporate money
Right,
to
like we just
plan
got the pay
parties?
bump. We're in the good spot.
Yeah, like what are you doing? And then she said something. I still kind of hate her for it. And she said, you know what? I'm never going to be happy if I'm only chasing the dollar. And I was just like, I'm not ready to receive this. I'm gonna have to call you later. But it sat with me, so I kept on trying to like push it away. And I was like, I'll start off as a side hustle. But you got this crazy girl who's in finance
To
and
chase that
accounting
dollar.
who likes technical education. So the next thing I know, I was going to design school nights and weekends. And I was just like, what are you doing, Beth? What are you doing? So fast forward a million years, here we are.
Crazy. And it's not, I think it's even more interesting, Beth, because it's like one thing where like you can say like I started in finance and like you could be a professional organizer, but the way that you design is just such at a high level. There's so much mix
Thank
of
you.
material and color and texture, and none of that comes from an organizer. You know, I work with organizers. Those two things do not talk to each other, so it's
They
interesting what's
don't.
always been in there.
Right. I definitely agree. I always think about what would have happened if I would have, or if like my parents would have nurtured like the more creative side. Instead, they just like was just like, if a crazy girl want to clean her room, let her clean her room. Like there was no like, no, here's a coloring book, or like, girl, go play with your Barbies. It wasn't that. They just let me do what I naturally wanted to do, which is great. But when I go back, I'm like, huh, I wonder what would have happened if you'd have been like, girl, sit here and color. You know what I
Look,
mean?
you
Like
were the
those types
third,
of things.
okay? They were
They
like, baby
retired.
girl, we're done.
Yeah, they retired.
I'm like, I can relate. They're like, uh-huh. They're like, good for her. Let's move on.
Right. So
let's talk a little bit about your design approach. Your design approach, you definitely talk about being a maximalist, which many people like to say they are, and it just becomes a big jumbled mess. So how do you really make it feel well layered without it being really cluttered?
I think it's a mix of taking like the gut instinct and what I learned in school. So I feel like I went to school because for me, I need to learn the rules so I know how and when to break them.
Oh, well, that's it. That's the quote.
That's
That's the quote.
Bam. So I always like, I believe more is more. So I start off with like, I want to see all of these things. And then it's about the editing. And then like thinking like when I enter in the room, what do you want to see? What do you want to feel? What makes sense functionally? It's like a huge pot and you got all these ingredients and you're just trying to strategically get your recipe right.
Like, how do you feel like you play a lot too? Because you use a lot of accessories. Like, you go
Oh,
in
yes.
hard on accessories.
I love it. I love it. Yes.
Like, what is your approach to that? Like, do you do a lot of vintage? I know you have a great deal with Home Goods. We're all very jealous. Like, what's your approach to getting all those goodies?
I'm always looking for wow pieces. Like, will someone walk into this room and be like, oh my God, where did you get that? I'm looking for those pieces all the time. And sometimes I'll use HomeGoods as an example. I'll walk in and I'm like, I don't know what client this is for, but it's getting in the truck with me. And then based on the project, then I'll be like, this is for this specific project. This is what makes the most sense. So it takes a lot. It's like a lot of sourcing, keeping an eye out. Like I'm in everyone's newsletter, I'm in everyone's publication, seeing like, is there a new resource? Is what's the new? I mean, we're in September now, so I'm like stalking everyone's fall collections. Like, what are you coming out with that
So
I right?
it's so
Like,
funny. I just
what
like
do I?
messaged Brooklyn and I'm like, where's this? I'm like, I see this duvet. I'm like, what's the name of it? I'm like, I'm looking on the site. I'm like, I saw the fall photo. I'm like, what is it? I'm like, I need to know. I'm
Right.
like, okay, now I can save it.
Right, exactly. It's like I call it stalking in like a good way, right? Like constantly stalking and seeing like what is coming out and what project or what client or what personality of client this would be perfect for.
No, it's a hunt. It's never ending. Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mood Board Podcast. My mom's kicking off spring and summer series all around the stories of home renovations, and boxes are stacked up all around the living room. This podcast has listeners in over 13 countries and almost has 10,000 listens. So thank you for actually clicking on this podcast, and make sure to share it with all your friends and family. Okay, Mom, I'm done now.
So let's talk about this. So if we want to get into your career, there's a lot of things that you've done, and you guys, I'll have a link to Beth's website and you can see all of her press as well. What do you feel like has been the biggest design challenge in your career?
Honestly, I feel like sometimes the biggest challenge is myself. It's either not following my gut instinct or ignoring my gut instinct. And I've learned the hard way, if I am tired, if I haven't been practicing self-care, or if, to be frank, if the client has been pissing me off and I'm operating from a sense of anger, I hit a wall creatively. Like I can't, I literally feel like stuck. It's like, all right, all the brain cells are gone. There's nothing that I can do here. That's always where my biggest challenge comes in. Like I have to like feel it. If I'm not feeling it, then I'm stuck.
True. And it's hard too sometimes when you sign up for something and you kind of feel like you're going one direction and then you start going down a road with a client and you're like, this just isn't it. You know,
Right.
and it's really hard to turn it. And also it feels I think people don't understand, like, interior design is very much like a connection to your gut and your soul. And there are some projects we like to call soul sucking, you know, yes. And you get into them and you get a little too deep and you're like, this has now gone a different way where it's consuming me, but I'm not gaining anything from it anymore. You're like, I don't feel nourished by it. I just feel burnt out. And those are hard to go through.
They absolutely are. It's a painful process when you're there. Mm-hmm.
But you remember it. You remember the next time you sign a contract. What to look for.
After every project, I always review my contract. I was like, did I learn a lesson?
Yeah.
If I did, let's add this, let's edit this, let's do this thing.
I think that's good advice too. Yeah, always kind of remembering and recapping with yourself and then making sure, right, you got what you needed before you sign.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit. How do you feel like you've grown in the interior design industry when we know, you know, there's less than 5% of people of color in it? Can you talk a little bit about being a founding member of Badge?
I feel like there are so many feelings. Let me narrow them down. I feel like being a Black designer has never felt different than the Black girl that was in corporate America. Like, usually, you know, I'm the only Black person in the room, regardless of gender. Who I'm dealing with, like, I feel like it's a different, it's the same room, just a different building. And with Badge, I feel like that was just a no-brainer. Like, oh, you want to support us Black folks in the industry?
Yeah.
You don't got to ask me twice. Like, let's do it. Tell me what you need. I feel like it's a much needed resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a community. That's really, really lacking. Because I think, like, I will say to listeners, you know, I think one of the things Beth was like, what are you doing? And I live in Connecticut. I mean, I am definitely an environment. There are definitely people of color. I'm not going to say that. But in this industry, in Connecticut, there are very few designers of color. You are not getting hired by a lot of people of color. And so you really adjust to that and you're used to it. But it's a breath of fresh air when I do this podcast because I love the connection that I get from the community and like reminding me why we do this, why we love design so much. But you know, it is definitely a hustle. It's a different game if you're a person of color and you're in it because you're really saying you love it because it's not like the easiest road every day.
Absolutely. I think when I first like started out, I did not know one Black designer in my state.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't until like after I was done with design school that I started to meet other Black designers in my state. Everyone I knew was like from New York. I'm like, New York is great, but I live in New Jersey.
Right.
So I feel like it's those little things. And now I'm just like, oh, now I know like a people across the country, not just through, you know, delving into the industry and networking and going to like different events, but through Badge. And I was like, oh, I know this Black person, they live in Haiti, right? As these creatives and getting to like see their work, you have a whole new appreciation of what we are out here doing across our different disciplines. It's just beautiful to see.
And there's so many resources, so much like good products, so many good like Black owned things. I'm like, I want this, I want that. I'm like, oh. All right. I'm
yes.
Like, I haven't seen that anywhere. I'm like, all right. You'll know.
Right. I agree. So agree.
What do you feel like is on your wish list of a design challenge? Like something that you feel like in your career you haven't tackled yet?
I'll go with what is top of mind. And I would say that I have not yet tackled an outdoor area that involves a pool, like in its totality. I haven't done that. And I feel like it was Justina Blakeney, maybe last year, early this year, she posted what she was doing with her pool, and I was just like, oh, I love it. I got to get our hands on a pool. So I feel like right now that's my biggest challenge, because whatever I haven't done before, I always get like those nervous butterflies. So if I think about nervous butterflies, that pool gives me nervous butterflies. I haven't done it, but I would love to get my hands on it.
I've been stalking those. It's this company, I believe, in Vermont. It might be New Hampshire, but they're called Soak Pools. And Emily
Ooh.
Henderson used them, and they're like small, but they still go deep. So they're perfect for like small
Oh.
backyards.
Oh, I gotta. Let me write
I just
that
want to
down.
work with one. I don't know.
Right.
Somehow everything needs to come together.
I'm on the case. I'm gonna do some research.
Yes, and it's Soake, Soak. I read
Oh,
an
that is
article
cool.
about these people for House Beautiful, so don't
Oh,
forget
I love it. I'm definitely gonna have
that.
to check them out.
Well, Beth, that is our interview. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed that conversation. And again, I hope it's just a great way to start your week, get you centered, thinking about, are you on the right career path? And if not, what do you need to do to start really repositioning yourself for 2024 to get you on the right track? I want to remind everybody, you can shop this conversation at angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast. Also, it's a great way for you to see Beth's interior design work, her portfolio, and then just a few sprinkled in items that I just feel like Beth would want to use in a project, as well as that soak pool that we were talking about at the end of the conversation. If you guys want to deep dive into that, I'll be honest, I am very tempted and already daydreaming, as I know we're not even in winter yet, about what I want to do outside next year. So on that note, I want to remind everybody to enjoy the official kickoff of the holidays. Remember just focusing on gratitude and staying safe. All right, bye-bye.